Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 410.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan. As we are moving into, or we're in, the holiday season here in the United States, I wanted to share with you an episode that is significant and timely. In fact, maybe even more so than it was the first time we played it back in when it came out, back in 2020. My guest today is Tina Gilbertson. Tina Gilbertson is a psychotherapist and author of the book Reconnecting with Your Estranged Adult Child. Tina founded Reconnection Club, which is a community that offers education, support, and community online for estranged parents who want to repair their relationships with their adult children. Tina is originally from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and now lives in Denver, Colorado. And you can learn more about her at tinagilbertson.com. Her club, the Reconnection Club, is at reconnectionclub.com. And when this episode originally came out, we had some feedback from some listeners about how there's a lot of attention on parents who want to reconnect with their adult children. And what about the emphasis on healing for the adult children, or how the parents' behavior has caused harm? And I feel that most episodes of Therapy Chat are about when our experiences during childhood with our caregivers didn't meet up to what we needed and how that impacts us. However, this episode is about parents who were trying to do their best, who thought they were doing a good job. Maybe they were taking the advice that was given to them by professionals or by books they read or following what people in their community and their own families said were the appropriate ways to raise children. And they were intending to have close relationships with their children, although there may have been major gaps in meeting the children's emotional needs. And this episode is about how those parents can learn to understand why their adult children are upset with them and how they can repair those relationships if the adult child is open to that, or how they can come to terms with the healing that is maybe needed for them, apart from the relationship with their adult child who they're estranged from, who maybe doesn't want any more relationship with them, maybe isn't open to that. But they can, the parents can still find healing and change through exploration of their own unmet needs that led them to be unable to meet their children's needs. So with my perspective leaning towards compassion as much as possible, that's how I intend to do things. This conversation is about what those parents need to hear. It's about how I see so many therapists saying, I've received a referral and I can't meet with these people because my caseload is full, but there is an adult child who is asking their parent to go to family therapy. And what often happens is the adult child is really trying to say, hey, I need you to understand. And the parent, for whatever reason, is not able to let down their defenses, to be open to hearing what the child is saying and to understand that even though they may have been trying their best, it wasn't meeting what the child needed. Both things can be true. So that's who I'm hoping will find hope and healing in this conversation. Parents who want to be close with their adult children. Their adult children have let them know that there's something that isn't working, and the parent is able to develop a curiosity about, well, could there be anything to what my child is saying to me? Can I consider this? Can I allow it in at all? That's what Tina is helping with, and that's what her Reconnection Club is about. So all of you who have been abused and had so many attachment experiences that didn't meet your needs, I see you and I care about you. This is not to disregard your experience at all. And I will say, and I'm sure I said it in this episode at least once, the first time it aired, that I would never tell anyone you should have a relationship with your abusive parent. If you feel that you don't want to have a relationship with them, if you feel estrangement is the right option for you, I support you. So with the holidays underway now, many of us may be tending to some wounds that have arisen through contact with family that happens over the holidays that can be very, very stressful for people and often leads people to seek out therapy. And if you're trying to make sense out of why you feel the way you do, maybe this episode will give you some things to think about. As always, I appreciate you listening and talk to you soon. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm really excited to be talking to Tina Gilbertson, the author of Reconnecting with Your Estranged Adult Child. Tina, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Laura. Thanks for having me on.
You are very welcome. This is a topic that I am super interested in, and it definitely comes up a ton in my practice. So I think that our audience is going to be really interested in what you have to say today. So before we dive into talking about your book and your podcast and your Reconnection Club, let's just start off by you letting our audience know a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, I am a therapist. I'm currently based in Denver, Colorado. And I started out as just a general therapist in private practice somewhat over a decade ago. I guess it's, well, anyway, it's been a while. But what I discovered in my practice was that I had a lot of clients who were not talking to their parents. And I didn't really know at the time that this was actually something that happens a lot. So I was kind of taken aback by how many clients I had. And sometimes I would talk to them about, well, geez, you know, how well do your parents understand why you don't want to go home for the holidays or whatever it was? And, you know, they would say things like, well, I've tried to talk to them about the problems, but they don't get it. Or they might say, I can't, you know, they don't understand me. They won't get it. So I can't talk to them. I realized that there was a real disconnect. And I knew there were parents on the other side who were probably really, really devastated by what had happened in their relationship and really maybe didn't have a clue. as to why this disconnect had happened and why they weren't hearing from their kids. So I started writing articles online, you know, hey, you know, here are some things that you might need to know. Because I had all this information from the people in my practice. You know, they were telling me why they didn't want to talk to their parents, but they weren't talking to the parents. So I thought, oh gosh, I need to help these folks connect. And that was, you know, a few years back. And I just, there was such an outpouring of gratitude and questions. And I just heard from so many parents, I was blown away by how big this problem was. And so I decided to specialize in working with parents to try to repair some of these relationships that had gone kind of off the rails a bit for reasons that were, you know, often mysterious to the parents. So that's where I landed. I ended up specializing in working with parents who are unwillingly rejected by their or restrained from their adult children. And everything I've been doing for the past, I don't know, 6 years or so has really been to that end, to try to help these folks reconnect.
Well, now that makes me curious. Do the parents who you work with often find that they're able to truly reconnect with their adult children? And when I say truly reconnect, I mean that it's actually a relationship that's like satisfying for both.
That is the idea, of course, that it be mutually satisfying and mutually beneficial. But when you've had, you know, estrangement and these kinds of problems don't happen overnight. When you've had decades of a relationship that has a certain tone, a certain set of dynamics to it, it takes time to turn the train around. But I do see parents working on doing that and having some success with their kids. And I hear stories pretty regularly of kids being just so grateful that their parents were willing to stop and look at what was going on, which is incredibly hard work for the parent who typically, you know, did the best they knew how, thought they did a decent job, don't understand why this cutoff is necessary and everything. For them to turn around and say, wow, there are clearly changes that need to be made, it takes a tremendous strength, I think, to withstand the shame and humiliation that often accompany these kinds of relationship rifts, you know? But I do see success, and that's what keeps me going. I do get to hear about the success stories, but I'm not going to pretend that it's an overnight. Usually it's not an overnight process, and it's definitely not easy. There's usually a ton of personal healing and evolution that really wants to happen in the parent before they can show up in a different way in those relationships.
What a beautiful gift you are bringing to these families by helping the parents find a way to resolve these rifts that feel very painful for both the parent and the adult child. I mean, I'm like super excited now that I'm thinking about it, that you're offering this.
It is, I'm excited too. It is what keeps me, I live and breathe this every day. It's such a privilege because the amount of healing that can take place through this crucible of parent-adult-child estrangement is breathtaking. There's so much healing often that needs to happen in the parent. And this is maybe the thing that brings them to the place where they realize something within themselves really needs to heal and change and do life and relationships differently. It's transformative. It can be a transformative experience to go through this fire, this pain of this very, very deep personal rejection.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. Those words are so evocative. Mm-hmm. So Tina, let's maybe for some who are listening, I mean, I think you've already kind of created a picture, but let's make sure that everyone who's listening really knows what we're talking about when we talk about parental estrangement. Maybe you could give some examples of sort of like types of situations that
come up. Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, I'll start with my own grandmother. This isn't something I really thought about when I was getting into this work, but in my own family, my mom's mother estranged herself from her family of origin. My mom grew up without knowing her grandparents on that side of the family. I mean, she never met her maternal grandmother and grandfather. It was total lifelong cutoff, as far as we know. I think that kind of cutoff is rare these days just because it's a lot harder to do than it was in the 1930s. You know, it's just hard to be off the grid, to disappear, to be hard to find. So, and from what we know, I think of the research, most estrangements are temporary. They're not this lifelong disappearance kind of thing. But that is one form of estrangement. It's just a blackout, you know, total cutoff. And I think what parents fear, they really fear it a lot when their child goes radio silent, that this is what they get. They've basically lost their child. But I think that much, much more common is a kind of on again, off again relationship between the parent and child. Sometimes the child is in the parent's life and sometimes they're gone again. So it's kind of a cyclical or periodic estrangement. That's how it's referred to in the literature, cyclical or periodic. And I think the reason that's the most common is that there's so much pressure, both internal and societal, for people to, you know, forgive, to get back together and stuff like that. And so there's a tension that builds up. Like, it's just hard. It's hard to be estranged from your primary family members. And so, you know, time goes by, maybe people try again, but the same problems that were harmful to the relationship in the first place, you know, are still there unless there's been some effort made. And so over time, a new kind of pressure builds up, the pressure to get away again. And I think that's why you get this on again, off again. So that's a second kind of estrangement besides the, you know, total blackout, lifelong cutoff. And a third one that I do see is what I call emotional estrangement. So the relationship, it's not like they never talk. It's not like they even don't see each other. You know, these are parents and children who may go to lunch. They may send texts and everything. But at least on the parents' side, there is a sense that they're strangers, you know, that they're not as close as they used to be or as close as the parent would like them to be on an emotional level. You know, often there's this sense that we used to be able to talk about anything and now it feels like I kind of walk on eggshells. So the estrangement, the distance is not physical, it's not logistical, it's more of an emotional distance. And that's very painful to feel that someone who is so important to you is like a stranger. So that's the third kind of estrangement that I recognize and see in some of the people that I work with.
Okay. These are just getting me thinking so much, obviously, since I'm a person, I'm a child. I'm a child of parents, and I am also a parent of children who are adults.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm thinking about clients and I'm thinking about friends and extended family members, my family and my partner's family. I guess I'll just ask you, and you can teach me. The situations that I often see are, I'd say there's two common situations that come into my office. One is people who had a father who at some point separated from the mother, and the child didn't see them again. And then the father tries to re-engage with the child when the child's an adult, and they have these like continuous missed connections where the child wants a relationship with the parent, but they're also angry. And, you know, so it's hard for the parent to break through. And the parent keeps trying to connect, but it's like they really don't know the child. So they keep missing. And it just feels like these repeated abandonments and betrayals.
Yeah.
And then the other side that I often see, which is like almost the complete opposite, is I often see people, especially women, who feel when I meet them, they describe being so close with their moms, like they talk to them every day or they see them every day or their mom is constantly calling them, but they feel the mom is like too enmeshed or too intrusive. So they'll call it a close relationship, but they'll describe feeling very violated by the way the mother is pushing like intrusively on their boundaries. And then, you know, as they are working through that, they start to make connections to ways that they don't feel that their mom really met their emotional needs. And then they want to put more distance, and the mom like really, you know, reacts negatively to that with this, like either like really controlling behavior or just really hurt and like rejecting. Where would you put those in the examples of what you gave?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, is that too complicated?
No, let me try. You're right. I mean, I see these two. Describe them very well, these situations. These are just two in a panoply of different situations and dynamics, mother, father, daughter, son, all of these things. But, you know, where are these emotional estrangements? Are these cyclical estrangements? I mean,
I'd say they're both probably emotional, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the case of the father, there was an actual physical estrangement there, maybe after a divorce or something like that. And of course, mm-hmm. there's the complicating factor if the mom alienated the child from the father. And of course, that can happen in either direction. You know, fathers can try to alienate their children against the mom as well after a divorce, or even when there isn't a divorce, there can be parental alienation. So that is a complicating factor. And one thing I do want to say, because parental alienation is a subject that is discussed in the literature and among therapists, that there is a lot more attempted alienation than successful alienation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a real thing. It absolutely happens. We all know that it does, that unfortunately some parents, you know, try to turn their children against the other parent. It's very harmful, of course, to the child as well as to the other parent. It's very unfortunate, but there are lots of attempts at this. And some are successful, especially when the kids are young and they have no contact with the other person. But I think that's probably a little bit outside the scope of just kind of regular estrangement, because most estrangements are motivated by the adult child himself or herself. So just getting back to the father who was separated and wants to reconnect, this is just an inherently difficult situation for both the father and the child. There's no guidebook, you know, who are we to each other if I haven't seen you in 15 years? I mean, how do you be a dad if you haven't been a dad? And this is no longer a child, they're an adult. So it's just a tricky thing to navigate. And I think just the one thing, bit of advice that I would give to parents is you've got to develop the skill of validating the difficulty for yourself and for your child of forging that relationship after this huge hiatus. You're not supposed to be able to just pull this out of a hat. It's difficult, but you also need to be able to sit with that anger. If your child is angry and feels abandoned, you have to be able, as hard as it is, to understand, you know, why that anger might be there, to understand how your child could feel abandoned, even if you know, your experience was that you tried to see your child and weren't able to, or that you know, wrote to your child 6 times a year or whatever. There's got to be room to just acknowledge and understand if the child is angry. And, you know, you have to be able to hear that and to accept it and empathize and just have remorse and sadness for that child's experience. So, you know, that's what I would say to the father is, don't be in a hurry to, okay, let's get on with this. Let's have our new relationship now. That's all in the past. Because that's not going to address the need that is still there. So that's what I'd say about that, is when there's emotional distance, you know, how do you create emotional closeness? And one way to do that is really by listening, empathizing, trying to understand and be with whatever that person is experiencing.
Well, that's where you said, let's see, the shame and humiliation that the parents feel at being estranged from their children. Seems like that can get in the way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is actually the biggest obstacle to repairing these relationships. There is something very human that gets invoked when your own child is, you know, their pain is basically an indictment of your parenting. That's what it feels like, right? I didn't do it right. I hurt my child. I didn't try to. I didn't mean to. And yet my child was injured, damaged, hurt, angry, disappointed. It's just incredibly, it's a lot to take on as a human being. And by the way, as someone's adult child yourself.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. So parents are not these super people. They're just people with emotional needs of their own, a need to be also validated, although your child is not the person to do that. But, you know, we all have a need for validation, visibility, appreciation. We need to know that somebody sees how hard we tried to do the right thing. And if it's not your child, it needs to be you. It needs to be someone else. But I think when the child is estranged or angry, moving away, the parent may have a very strong need for that child to recognize, hey, I didn't mean to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did the best I could. Can you forgive me? In much the same way, by the way, that I forgave my parents for not being there for me. So there's also a justice problem there. If I put up with a lot,
yeah,
you had to put up with something, and why don't you forgive me the way I did? But, you know, speaking of these emotional needs that parents have, because we all have them, that reminds me of the second situation that you talked about with women and their moms. And it can also be moms and their sons.
Sure.
It's not just moms and daughters, but with moms and daughters in particular, I do see this a lot, is that really, really close relationship, often but not always, with the mom was a single mom, and it was us against the world, you know, the two musketeers or the three musketeers, you know, mom and her children. And then, yeah, there is a certain enmeshed quality, perhaps, to the relationship that develops, and the needs of the mom for love and belonging and stuff are met through that relationship with the child. And the child, at some level, either consciously or semi-consciously or unconsciously, becomes aware of the burden of having to be there for that, their mom, you know, because mom doesn't have a lot of other close relationships. Mom relies on me for companionship, for, you know, just to listen, to be close and together. And I'm the most important person in my mom's life. And that can be a big responsibility, you know, especially for a young person who is, you know, 22, 25, trying to at a place in their lives where they're trying to make a life of their own as an adult.
The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is the EMDR therapy training brainchild of Dr. Jamie Marriage, a clinician and author who's on a mission to confront stigma around mental health, trauma, and dissociation. The Institute, informed by Jamie's work, teaches a somatic, expressive, bottom-up approach to EMDR therapy that does not treat dissociation like a dirty word. ICM empowers their students to navigate dissociation as a normal response to trauma and stress when it shows up. Dr. Jamie Marriage is out and proud on various levels about her own recovery and is a strong believer in the healing capacities of EMDR therapy and helping our clients to heal from the impact of trauma. I and two of my team members have been trained by the Institute for Creative Mindfulness directly with Jamie, and I was impressed with how dissociation really was treated as just a normal aspect of trauma therapy work, which it is. Both Jamie and the consultants were matter of fact about if and when dissociation arises, it's okay, it's normal, and here's how you can help the client in that situation. The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is offering a coupon code to save 15% off any program offered by ICM. This includes their EMDR therapy basic training programs and a wide variety of their home study, advanced topics, and other CE offerings. Go to instituteforcreativemindfulness.com and use promo code 15OFF for listeners. There's a link in the show notes. You can copy the promo code and use the link right there in the show notes to make it easy.
Very much, especially I see when they have children, like now they're managing their own family, their little nuclear family, and their mom is demanding a lot of them. They feel suddenly it feels like it's way more than they can do.
Yeah, definitely. And having children is a flashpoint. There's a mother-daughter relationship coach called Roshka Hasseldine. She is a counselor who specializes in mother-daughter relationships. She talks about these flashpoints in a young woman's life where she may kind of pull away from her mother. And that is, you know, having children of her own is one of them where the relationship with her mother becomes suddenly full of tension. And mom can't understand that because it's like, hey, I've got grandchildren. You've got kids I can babysit. This is great. This is wonderful. We're a big, happy family. So there's a real ripping away of this sense of everything being okay and close and wonderful. It's really devastating what can happen. And of course, the daughter can feel just painfully aware of how much her mom is hurt by being shut out, perhaps, while the daughter just makes room for her chosen family, her new family. It's a powder keg, or it can be. Because mom has these emotional needs that really can't be met elsewhere. And so it's not really optional for the daughter to be there for her mom. So I'm not surprised that you've seen that too in your practice, because I think that's a pretty common dynamic. And it's certainly not that they don't love each other. That's what's so tragic about this, you know. Mm-hmm. They both feel the pain of this weight of something in their relationship. Roschke Hasseldein thinks of it in terms of women's needs and how, you know, societally women's needs are not typically considered important, you know, needs that need to be met. So it falls on daughters. It falls on daughters to meet mom's needs, because mom isn't really supposed to have needs, but women are supposed to meet everybody's needs. So it's this complicated, it becomes a, you know, whose needs are going to get met? Mine or my daughter's? Mine or my mother's?
Someone's needs have to be abandoned here.
Exactly.
Who's it going to be? Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man. And then I think about how I hear from the parents, you know, that they're sort of saying implicitly, okay, you don't want to be around me, fine, but you're keeping me from my grandchildren, and that's just not okay, you know, and sort of that becomes like this power struggle.
It's
like the parent is saying, oh, you're rejecting me, well, I reject you, but those children, I want them.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, that I do see that too. And that's tragic as well. You know, obviously, ideally, you have a multi-generational family and the kids see everybody getting along and the kids feel loved by everyone and the kids get to love everyone equally and all of that. But what the grandparent who tries to bypass the parent quickly finds out is that they don't have, in most places, as far as I know, any legal right. They may feel a moral right, but they don't have any legal right to be in their grandchildren's lives. And that's obviously really tough for someone to take if they've been waiting for grandchildren for eons. But the point is that they focus on these grandchildren without realizing that the relationship that needs to be tended is their relationship with their grandchildren's parents. Mm-hmm. That is the primary relationship. And yeah, it's easy to resent if your child is keeping you away from your grandchildren, but you know, everybody gets their turn to determine what happens with their children and who their children see and everything. So everybody gets a turn to be parents and have absolute say over their kids. And then you abdicate to the next generation and they get to have kids. And, you know, that's kind of how it works. And lucky people just get included in the next generation's activities, and it's not problematic. But when there are problems in relationships, these things do break down. And when you say, well, that's cruel to the grandchildren to keep the grandparents away, the complication is that, yes, it's very unfortunate when grandchildren have to watch their grandparents being held at bay. But in order to have empathy for the grandparents, the parents have to make a sacrifice, and there is no empathy for them. So it's kind of a zero-sum situation here. Somebody's needs have to be trampled in order for someone else's to be honored. And that, you know, that's a situation that where you just need to change the playing field, the rule book. Something's got to change so that there isn't a zero sum quality to who gets their needs met.
Yeah. It's like, instead of looking at it as a black and white, who's the bad one? Who's the good one here?
Mm-hmm.
It's like opening up more of an expansive view of what is really going on, that everyone here has needs, and how can we lovingly meet each other's needs, you know, and
how do we get along
appropriately? Yeah.
How do we get along instead of being angry at, you know, you, because you won't let me get along? It's how do I get along here if somebody's mad at me? How do I manage a situation where someone is, is so mad at me or so hurt by me that they're holding out these things that are important to me. And it's easy to get lost in resentment and self-criticism and other criticism. It's just easy to go down a black hole with this. It can be extremely depressing and it can be hard to turn things around, but that is the answer, really. The answer is that there needs to be compassion in this situation for everybody, for the grandchildren who might benefit substantially by having this intergenerational family involvement. Compassion for the parents who obviously have some reason. You know, we want our parents and our children to be, it's pretty normal to want that, to want harmony in our families, right? So mm-hmm. if the parent of the grandchildren is not wanting that for some reason, we've got to look and say, why? You know, what needs to happen to bring this natural state back where we want harmony? And of course, compassion for the grandparent who really feels a terrible, piercing loss, which may, of course, relate back to earlier losses that may or may not have been addressed. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that comes up with estrangement is acknowledged, unaddressed trauma, grief. These things can be triggered when we're rejected by the people we love.
Well, as a trauma therapist, it's like, there it is. It always comes back to trauma because it's like why the parent originally couldn't meet their children's needs the way the children needed them to is probably because of the parents' unresolved trauma that they had no idea was affecting them because they just tried to push through. And then the child is reacting because they feel traumatized by the way that the relationship was, or, you know, the attachment wounds that came from that. That makes sense to me.
Me too. Yeah. And in order to address your children's trauma, of course, you have to face your own. And that's not something that everybody is ready to do, well enough supported to do,
very much
equipped to do. So yeah, it's a tricky, tricky problem and a very important thing to try to help with. I think people really need help with this.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, because what my clients express is that they just want their parents to listen to them about how they feel, mm-hmm. validate their feelings, like you said, apologize if needed for wherever they fell short without, you know, making it all about them. Just like, you know, I'm so sorry I couldn't be what you needed me to be or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And this is an important thing for therapists to understand. It's sometimes pretty easy for us to see that what's really needed is for the parent to listen and just hear their children's pain. But when you are that parent with untreated trauma or terrible deep grief or loss or feelings of deep insecurity or low self-esteem, mm-hmm. it is not trivial to listen to someone say, "You hurt me." I mean, that goes to the absolute core of your being. And it is such asking everything to listen and hear and hold that kind of information. So it is, you know, that's just a note for therapists. We can see what needs to happen here, but we've got to appreciate the price that it feels like needs to be paid from the client's point of view. So we've got to be exceedingly gentle, mm-hmm. understanding, empathetic with the person we feel is, you know, the key to solving this whole thing. You know, it may be like, come on, you know, here's what needs to happen. You need to get with this program. You need to do this. You need to do that. But we know that pushing people does not help people change. And certainly shaming people does not help people change. And it's very easy to unwittingly, accidentally shame someone who is in this position where their children are not talking to them.
I can understand because as a parent, you know, I want to be open to, I feel it's inevitable at some point my children should probably come to me and say, when you did this, I felt you didn't see me or you didn't care or you weren't, you know, whatever it was, I'll just have to wait and see what it's going to be. But
right.
Whatever it's going to be, I know it should be coming because that would mean that we actually have had, you know, an open enough relationship, an open communication enough that they trust me to be able to come to me like that. But,
right.
But I also dread it because I don't want to feel that I ever let them down because,
no, it hurts.
You know, it hurts so bad. And that's, you know, that's me with years of therapy about the way I've been hurt before. Right. It's being able to know that that's still going to be coming or should be coming. And steeling myself to tolerate it, like not just bracing against it, but like be open to it.
Yeah.
That'll probably be my work in therapy for the rest of my life until until they're ready to come and confront me about whatever it was.
Right. Yeah.
But what, tell us how your Reconnection Club helps parents with this, because, you know, the shaming piece and the pain and stigma is so deep and horrible for people.
Yeah. So the Reconnection Club at reconnectionclub.com is, I see it as an online school where parents can get the information that they need to start trying to make these repairs. And of course, there's a support element to it because, as we've just been talking about, making repairs is not simply a matter of, you know, going step by step through the numbers. It's very, very much an emotional process, a process that involves probably a lot of tears, a lot of efforts to heal and personal growth and so on. But there's a lot of information there in the club. And the textbook for it is a book that I've written called Reconnecting with Your Estranged Adult Child. So that's, I consider that the textbook for the online school, and that puts forth this approach, what I hope is a very compassionate approach that takes into account parents' needs for healing and being understood and being visible, and also adult children's needs, which we know are the reason why people disconnect from families, because their needs are not met or they're quite badly trampled through usually unwitting behavior from families. So the whole idea, there's the book, you know, Reconnecting with Your Estranged Adult Child. There's the Reconnection Club where people take those principles and they work together. You know, it's just for parents, the Reconnection Club. It's an online home for them basically to work with these ideas and these principles in a, what I hope is a very supportive, kind atmosphere. One thing that's different about it is, you know, if you go online and you look at forums where mm-hmm. estranged parents hang out or estranged adult children, there is so much anger, there's so much vitriol, there's so much blame, there's so much diagnosing of each other. I mean, for every adult child who diagnoses their parent as a narcissist, there's mm-hmm. a parent on the other side diagnosing the child with narcissism, BPD.
Yep.
You know,
bipolar.
Yep. Absolutely. Those are so there's just so much us and them.
Yes.
So that's what I wanted to get away from with our online space. And we look very carefully at how people are talking about themselves and their children. And we really, it's very important for us to keep a kind, respectful tone. And we don't often need to remind our members because I think, you know, somehow we have managed to set that tone for the most part. So I think of it as a very healing space. So ideally, people read the book, they join the club, and they take their time in working through these things. And we always encourage people to have an individual therapist. I can't count the number of times that I have recommended individual therapy to people who are posting in the Reconnection Club, and they're talking about what sounds to me like undiagnosed trauma specialists. In particular, are very, very much needed for the people I work with. Just so many have undiagnosed, unaddressed trauma that's completely affecting all of their relationships, but in particular with their children. As you can imagine, you know, this incredibly intense relationship that's not like any other.
That's the thing, is like, normally, for people who have trouble relating with others, mm-hmm. you can alienate all of your friends and all yep. of your coworkers, but you can be like, it's they're jerks and I hate them. But then your children, you may feel angry at them, but you want them too. So it's this
Absolutely.
Conflict. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, parents express that you know, honestly, deep down, they thought, well, geez, at least my children are supposed to love me. And, you know, some of us, when we hear that, we're like, well, you know, that's pretty selfish. Or, you know, it's easy to label that as, well, you're a narcissistic parent if you expect your children to whatever, whatever. But you've got to understand where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. Here's a person who may have had no sense of belonging, being cherished, or anything that's really that feeds them as humans. And it's you know, if you can really get that, you can understand why they would at least hope that the children they bring into their lives might be that unconditional love that they never got before. I'm not saying that is, that's what should happen. Children should unconditionally love their parents. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I can understand why someone who has never, ever experienced that would look to their children for that. So rather than condemning parents who do that, it's very important to understand the history of someone who reaches out to their child to get their needs met and who is absolutely devastated when the child doesn't want to do that.
You've described it beautifully, and really it evokes compassion for the parent, you know, and that's the thing. I think for me, like clients who are coming to work on how their attachment needs were unmet during childhood, their emotional needs, or they were abused physically, sexually, or verbally, that, you know, it's like, I don't want to vilify my parents, that they're not bad. They loved me. I know they did the best they could. And I'm angry at them and I'm hurt by them and I want to set boundaries with them. But it doesn't mean, you know, that the parents, I think the only way to do this healing work, whether it's working with the adult child or a child or the parent, is with compassion for everyone, because everyone wants to have these loving, harmonious family relationships, like you said. So, you know, something got in the way that they couldn't.
Right.
And
right.
That's why I think what you're doing is absolutely beautiful and needed and so healing. I just feel like even in this time in particular in our like world history, there's so much violence and so much anger and so much us and them, the fear. But things like what you're doing are repairing relationships and creating more connection. And that is what we need. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yes. And I do want to say that I would never want or expect or ask anyone to enter a relationship that feels harmful to them. That is absolutely not the goal of reuniting parents and children. You know, healing must happen before reconnection can happen, because the idea is a mutually satisfying, nurturing relationship that doesn't harm anybody, but that is, you know, that adds to the lives of everyone involved.
Well, I am very grateful that you're doing this. And I think your way of describing it is so helpful. So just to wrap up, for people who are listening, maybe people who are parents who are estranged from their children, I was thinking your podcast might be like a good entry point for people.
I hope so. Yeah, the podcast is the Reconnection Club podcast. Sometimes it's easier to find it under my name, Tina Gilbertson, than Reconnection Club. I'm not sure why, but anyway, in that podcast, I do try to give just kind of tidbits and bits and pieces for parents to think about, to reflect on, sometimes practical tips. You know, there are logistical things that come up when you're estranged from a child. Should I send them a birthday card?
Yeah.
Should I invite them home for the holidays? You know, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I do hope that, you know, the feedback is that people, you know, some people find it really helpful. So yeah, check out the Reconnection Club podcast. If you are a parent who's got even a troubled relationship with an adult child, you know, headed off at the pass. If you're still in touch and you're not estranged, but you're worried about the quality of your relationship, I like to think that there are some tips and information there for you as well.
Fabulous. You've got it all. You got the book for those who prefer to start that way. You've got the podcast for those who start that way, blog posts, your club. So Tina, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
It's been an honor to talk with you, Laura. And congratulations on 5 years plus.
Thank you.
Of Therapy Chat. You provide an incredibly important service for therapists and just for the general community. So thank you for doing this and very much for having me.
Oh, the pleasure was mine.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.